Today on The Travel Guys.
You know what? I thought Cindy has a really nice voice.
Yeah, she does.
Doesn't
we can make
she
her
have
a travel girl.
Yeah. I mean, she has a really nice voice. Anyway. Oh, today on The Travel Guys, we're on the air now.
Yes, we are.
In the travel news, Marriott is adding Netflix to their in-room packages. And if your travel, if your driver's license is from Arizona or one of several other states, TSA may not accept it next year. We have details.
320, Mark shares some travel tips from his recent journeys. And we have a report from our second magic bus adventure that we just took last
week.
That
was a lot of fun. And you have, once again, some sound. Artemis was there. Oh, my goodness. At the news, after the news at the bottom of the hour, we're joined by Ed Perkins, one of the country's best consumer advocates. And Ed updates us on everything from travel insurance to those pesky resort fees.
And at 3:55, we've saved the best for last as Mark reveals travelers' six deepest, darkest vacation secrets.
What a tease you are. Here we are, Mark and Tom, teasing you through a lazy Sunday summer afternoon on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks.
With the show.
We're the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day. I was telling Mark earlier on a text message, I don't know whether anybody's going to be listening because everybody's either at the seniors golf match or watching it on the television. This is probably, you know, one of the biggest events Sacramento has hosted
in a
lot
long
of years.
Yeah, since the track and field championships were here, the NC2As and stuff like that. So it is a big deal. But I can assure you that coming over here on Business 80, that not everybody is at the golf tournament because most of them are out on that little pinch point there on Business 80 out of downtown. But I will say that the reviews on the golf tournament have been very good, despite the fact that the weather wasn't real kind to them until yesterday. They got a break.
Yeah, today and yesterday are just perfect days.
Yeah, but I saw some compliments last night on television about how good the greens are playing and how well kept the golf course is. So most importantly, Sacramento not only is hosting the event, but is getting a stellar review from the professionals who are playing at it. So to me, what that means is that there's probably a pretty good chance that the Del Paso Country Club could someday host another event. You know, that's right in the backyard where I grew up. Pope Avenue School used to
be a
stone's throw away. Goodness gracious, that was we used to play softball in a backyard that just about backed up to the Del Paso Country Club over there. So
there you go. So you know the area well.
I know. It's my old stuff. We used to jump over the fence late at night and before they put the barbed wire up and fish golf balls out of the...
You still have any of those?
No. That we resold them. You'd resell them to guys who hit, you know, practice balls and stuff like that. You could make a little money that way until they put the barbed wire up, and then that was the end of that.
They had a seniors tournament there some years ago, back in the days of Nancy Lopez, and I did attend that. So it's well known and has brought Sacramento to the nation once again. And then, of course, the Kings' new acquisition, he was out at the Will was out at the golf match. And, of course, now you've got ESPN following him around while he's at the senior event. So we've got to... coming and going.
I was listening to, shall we say, another radio station right after that draft choice announcement was made, and about the first four or five phone calls they took afterwards were people who all did not see the light whatsoever. I mean, it's a little bit of a controversial choice there.
Always is.
Well, and if you're, you know, I mean, let's face it, that it's drafting a kid out of college is kind of a crapshoot anyway. I mean, I remember the year when the Kings had three or four first-round choices many years ago, Purvis Ellison and the whole gang. Well, anyways, we've
done better with like the 30th pick.
Well, and sometimes you do. I mean, you know, I don't know what pick Buster Posey was for the Giants, but Boy, that man is just doing an upstanding job for that baseball team. We've talked about everything but travel yet.
Well, let's go ahead and see if we've got time for some of that. There's the music. That must mean it's time for the travel news. Lay it on me, buddy.
All righty. We mentioned in the headlines that Marriott is adding Netflix to their in-room entertainment. This is the deal. If you already have Netflix, you will be able to sign into your existing account simply by using the Netflix app on the hotel's internet, or you can purchase it on their television set if you wish. So this is I'm not a huge Netflix guy.
I am. I think I'll find that very convenient because right now I will fudge and log on with my little iPhone and watch Netflix on a 3-inch screen.
So I'm glad to hear you say that because I bounced this by a couple of people just in the last couple of days. And in each case, their eyebrows go up and it's like, a good thing.
There you go.
So it sounds to me like something that might be a needle mover for Marriott hotels. Airlines are rolling in profits and fee dough. It probably won't surprise you to find out that the airlines in the first quarter made $3 billion. Businesses are entitled to make a profit. Most businesses are in business to turn a profit. What's interesting is that they made $864 million from baggage fees and $768 million from reservation change fees.
Wow.
Now, a baggage fee I can understand because to me, that's a bag. It's a physical item. It has to be loaded on a plane. It has to be unloaded on a plane. It has to be transported. There's fuel involved. There's labor, all of that stuff. But when I go online and change a plane ticket anymore, if I change it online, there's no labor or anything involved.
You know what they're doing is they're taking the model from Blockbuster.
Uh-huh.
Blockbuster made way more money on late fees of video rentals than they ever did on renting the movies the first time.
How interesting.
So here again, you sell the air flight, and then
right.
How many millions did they make on reservation changes?
768 in one quarter. One quarter.
Wow.
You know, it's 200. I flew Southwest up to Portland and back Friday and Saturday, went up to get some berries, boysenberries, marionberries. That's why my fingers are kind of red today. Anyways, I was up till midnight cleaning berries last night. Anyways, the Southwest, does not charge you a fee. You don't get a refund, but you
right.
get a credit that's good for a year that you can use on a future flight. And Southwest flies a lot of places. So it to me, that's a very, very fair and reasonable way to do things. It's almost too fair. And, I have to say something. I fly a lot on legacy airlines, United, Delta, American. U.S. Air is about to go away, be absorbed by American. I've flown a few times recently on JetBlue and Southwest, and I'm about that close to just throwing the whole thing out the window and just flying with Southwest Airlines because, there's no first-class cabin or anything to fight over with 30 other people who have status or whatever, but there is... All of the rows of seats have a little bit of extra legroom. And the people who work for Southwest are so civilized. I mean, they treat people like actual people. They act like they maybe actually enjoy their job. I had a flight crew last night. We came back from Portland at 7:30 at night. 40 people on the plane. Last run of the night. These people had been on duty for 6 hours already. It was obvious that they were a little tired. And they were having a little fun and stuff like that. And I just thought, it's just... This feels so much better and so much less adversarial than being with the other airlines. You're just sitting there watching me wax on about all of this stuff.
Oh, well, the
you
great
fly
thing
Southwest
about it is
a lot.
I do. I fly Southwest almost exclusively. But then again, Southwest goes to where I want to go. You have situations where with your travel, you don't always have that option. Sometimes Southwest just won't get you there.
Well, that's true.
Or JetBlue won't get
you
there.
And sometimes you fly an airline that you don't want to fly because to fly the airline you want to fly means a five-hour layover or a fare that's a lot more. Or some other thing that's really not very advantageous.
Well, that's a great review from you, Mark, because you do fly all these other airlines, and you fly a lot. So for you to say that you're really liking what Southwest
just,
and JetBlue
it's just
provide.
A more pleasant atmosphere. It like I said, it's less adversarial. You don't feel like when you go up to the counter that something bad is about to happen to you. I mean, I swear to God, when I'm in Houston or Chicago or Los Angeles or something, and I'm connecting for a flight, and I get to the gate, I'm just waiting for somebody to get on the PA system and tell me that something that I didn't anticipate. You know, the plane is sitting out there and everything looks fine, but the toilet doesn't work and we're not going anywhere. And so it's just with Southwest, I don't know why. I think, but though I do believe it has to do with the general attitude of the people who work there. I really think, and that's not, you know, we have I do business with a lot of the airline people here in Sacramento, and this is not a rag on the people here, really it isn't, because there are a lot of nice people who work for Alaska and United and some of the carriers that we work with here in Sacramento at Sports Leisure Vacations. But when you go out in other cities and stuff like that, and you're working with people who are working at the gates and stuff like that, they're just besieged by people who are always in a bad mood. But I don't see those kinds of things happening at the Southwest gate. So it just, I don't know, it just paused to stop to think. And
yeah, we
know.
Are the travel guys, by the way, and we're right in the middle of the travel news. We digress.
Mark keeps getting off on it. I do have a couple of other travel news things here that we need to get to. Alaska, this is a letter that came to me from one of my tour directors from Alaska Airlines. They sent this out as an apology to a customer who had some issues in Seattle getting a wheelchair. And getting from gate to gate, and the people missed their flight. And
wow, that sounds familiar. Was this a letter to you?
No, it was an apology letter to a customer, and it just says, over the last several weeks, our wheelchair service provider in Seattle struggled to deliver the level of assistance that our travelers expect and deserve. So this is Seattle. Remember, my problem was in Houston.
Right.
With United. This is Alaska in
Seattle. Alaska in Seattle,
so
okay.
I'm just suggesting, again, if you or someone you love uses special assistance in the airport, you need someone else to make something happen for you in the airport, then some of those folks are not real well-versed. Some of them are just plain not trained, maybe don't speak English well. If you don't have your boarding pass, know what gate you're boarding at, what time your plane leaves, and you don't have a working cell phone and someone you can call if something happens, then you're not playing the game right. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
And as we discussed and we heard from Mark back with his Houston thing, just because you're handicapped or in a wheelchair does not mean that they won't leave you behind.
That's exactly right. And we used to think that was the case, but we know now that it is not. So it's a word to the wise. And you know what? And if something happens and you don't get where you're going and that's the reason because the wheelchair handlers did you wrong, then you need to go to the Department of Transportation website. It's very easy. You can file a formal complaint against the airline, and that's the only way that this will ever change, that they will ever upgrade that service and pay attention, is if the Department of Transportation starts fining them and they start getting publicly shamed by consumer groups. That's the way it'll happen. Okay, one more quick thing. TSA may stop taking your driver's license. There's an issue with some out-of-state, this doesn't involve California people, but if you have an out-of-state driver's license, it doesn't exactly match your car title, then you may have a problem coming up. So make sure, if you've moved to California recently or you live in California and your residency is still in another state, that your car title and your driver's license line up exactly, because if they don't, when you go to renew your driver's license, you're going to have to, in some cases, go to your home state to get it renewed, because otherwise TSA is not going to take it. So this is just a kind of a word of warning, applies to people who maybe have a driver's license from out of state. Make sure that there's no catch-22 coming up there when you're getting ready to renew your license in terms of travel. And that's your travel news for today.
Coming up, Mark's got some tips from his recent journey to share with us. And last week, we took another magic bus trip in San Francisco. And we're going to share that with you. That's right here on The Travel Guys, just minutes away. It's The Who on, I was going to say Classic 93.1, but I'm not on that anymore.
You know what I most hate about getting old? I just went to my cell phone during the break here to look up something, and I can't remember what it was I was looking up now.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. The Magic Bus song playing in the background. Kind of an annual thing for us. Last year, we hooked up with Gabe, who runs the Magic Bus out of San Francisco, a very, very unique tourist attraction, if you will. Leaves right there out of Union Square. You load about, close to 30 people on the bus and take them on a tour all around San Francisco. And it's the summer of 67 from the moment that you step foot on that bus until the moment that you step off.
It is. And once again, I thought you did a wonderful job of asking folks after their journey on the Magic Bus what they thought. And it, even in the middle of this, you're going to hear somebody who kind of gives a little bit of a social commentary, which when I first heard it, I thought, that seems kind of out of place. And then I thought to myself, we're talking the 60s. Social commentary is incredibly important to the whole thing. So
I thought so, too.
Here are some of the reactions from our trip this week on the Magic Bus.
If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair.
I'm Kara. I thought it was great singing all the oldies but goodies on the bus.
To San Francisco.
I'm Judy, and it was delightful, colorful, fun.
Some gentle people.
Yeah, I'm Bob, and the highlight of the Magic Bus was this discussion about the space program.
Hi, I'm Judy, and it was a great trip, and I mean a trip without a heavy layer of smoke.
My name is Marianne, and it was memories lived and danced through the entire 60s.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Hi, I'm John, my wife Nancy. We had a fantastic time today. The Magic Bus was just great. Brought us back to our days of free love and happy days.
It brought us back to the memories of the 60s, times that we have, in our age, have forgotten, and what they really meant to us, and they mean a lot.
Gentle people with flowers in their hair.
My name is Roger. That was a fun two-hour ride through San Francisco and a review of the 60s. I really enjoyed it.
My name is Barbara, and I thoroughly enjoyed the Magic Bus. But I have one question. In the 60s, we read about it in the paper, and we had these young people protesting, and sex and marijuana. Who worked to provide food for them?
My name's Deb, and that trip brought me back memories I had forgotten for such a long time.
Yeah, you have one of those flashbacks.
Be sure to wear some flowers in your hair.
Hi, this is Stephanie. And the most fun thing on this trip is getting to wear flowers in your hair and sing-alongs.
Summertime will be rolling there. If you come to San Francisco,
I think that kind of gives you a bit of a feel of what the Magic Bus would be like and how the people enjoyed it.
It is so much fun. And now I didn't even get to go this time because we had too many people there, and so Mark didn't get on, so everybody could be comfortable.
It was so kind of you. I mean, we got in and it was crowded, and yeah, you know, we probably could have squeezed
at somebody's expense. It is more fun when that school bus that's painted blue with flowers on it starts pulling away, and the bubble machine in the back, and Artemis is going peace, love, and flowers and bubbles. And it's every person on the street as that bus pulls away wishes they were not on that double-decker bus tour that they just bought. They wonder, what is that? And I wish I was part of that. And when the people get off and they're all happy and everything, it's way different. I'm just telling you, if you haven't been to San Francisco and you haven't ridden the Magic Bus, it's something that you really, really should do. And take your friends with you. And make a day out of it. Go down. They go twice a day, morning and afternoon. I think it's about about $60, something like that, if you just do it yourself. Or, you know, every once in a while, we will do one. So anyway, enough about the Magic Bus.
Well, yeah, we could go on and on. All right, Mark, we promised
already did.
I know. We promised folks that we'd spend a little bit of time talking about what you learned on the road recently on your journey. Where you been?
I was in Cape Cod, and a couple of things, couple takeaways there.
Yes.
We say this often on the show, but it's worth repeating. If you're going to a short season destination where their season is only 3 or 4 months long, go at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. Try to go before everybody gets there, mm-hmm. but definitely go at the beginning of the season as opposed to the end, because people are fresher. They haven't made their money yet. Their attitude is just better. It's just better to go to a short season destination in the beginning. If you have to go when everyone else is there, still go in the beginning. So like Cape Cod, you want to go in June. Alaska, you want to go late May, early June. Pacific Northwest, you want to go May, June. Although in the Pacific Northwest, the fall doesn't seem to be quite as much of an attitude shift. Their season is a little, they do tourism there 12 months out of the year, so it's not as quite as distinctive as it might be. In Cape Cod, I still will say to you that the people on Martha's Vineyard are not as nice as the people on Nantucket. So if you're making an island vacation off the Massachusetts coast, you are way better off to spend your time and money on Nantucket, where people are very friendly, rather than on Martha's Vineyard, where if your net worth is less than $3 or $4 million, you really don't have anything to talk about with those people. and ferry boats are a real great way to get, very efficient way to get. And another thing, if you're going to Provincetown on the end of the Cape, go to Boston and take the ferry boat to Provincetown. Do not get a rental car and drive around the Cape, because the traffic will be horrible. It will take you 3 hours. And arriving in Provincetown, remember, the pilgrims arrived in Provincetown by boat, so right before they went on over to Plymouth. So there's no reason that you shouldn't consider arriving there the same way. It is the quintessential way to arrive in that little seaport town and walk off the dock into town and just absorb. Provincetown is one of the coolest places to visit in the whole United States. I just love that little place. It is so much fun there.
Awesome. That about it?
Portland. Went to Portland over the weekend here. remember, if you rent a car in Portland, I made a note of this last night.
Yes.
If you rent a car in Portland, there are no service stations to refill your car within 3 or 4 miles of the airport.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't know, and the service stations that are reasonably close to the airport are not easy to find, and they're not on the streets you would think they would be on. So make sure you ask or check your app or something. There's a couple of Shell stations, I'll give you a clue, are the two closest to the airport. But really and truly, you know, you're running out of time and you've got to refill the tank, and you think, I'll do it when I get close to the airport. And you get close to the airport and it's not there, and then you have to pay a lot of money for gasoline. So if in Portland, which is a great city, they are having 100-degree weather up there. That is not what people in Portland do well, 100 degrees.
Did you really just go there to get berries?
I did. I go there every summer twice just to get berries. I don't know. Well, I use, you know, points and miles and stuff, so I don't have to pay for the airline ticket. And
that's great.
I brought Marionberries and Boysenberries and stuff.
Marionberries?
Yes. It's a breed of blackberry.
Oh, okay.
They're really, really,
maybe
really
they
good.
Named him after.
If you come to the Sports Leisure office tomorrow, I'm going to treat my staff to smoothies with fresh berries from the Pacific Northwest.
Okay, well, there we go. What do you got, Ed Perkins, coming up after the
Ed's got a whole. We got a whole long list of stuff to talk to about Ed. We haven't talked to him for a couple of months, and he is Mr. Consumer Reporter. In fact, he was in Washington, D.C., testifying in front of a congressional hearing in the last few weeks. So Ed is the guy. He's a good guy.
All right, well, let's go to that gal with a really nice voice for some, hopefully, relatively decent news. Update on that senior golf tournament right here on KFBK.
Hey.
My daughter rode the train in San Diego, by the way, Mark.
Really?
I guess we should say this first. We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman with you. And she enjoyed her very first, believe it or not, train ride, I think, in her life from... somewhere down south there, but San Diego, whatever. It was a commuter thing.
The surf liner, probably, from in Los Angeles, San Diego area. Yeah, it's kind of like the Capitol Corridor. It runs a little bit more frequently, but it's 15, 20 times a day, and a couple of them go up to San Luis Obispo and the like.
One of our favorite guys.
I think so. We haven't spoken to him for a long time. Is joining us on the radio. Good afternoon, Mr. Perkins.
Well, good afternoon to you guys.
which we have not spoken for quite some time. And I, you know, every time I see something that you've written, I throw it in this pile. I circle it and I throw it in this pile. And of course, when I don't talk to you for a while, the pile, as you could tell from the list I sent you last week, gets pretty extensive. Because you've got your fingers in a lot of different pies here, Ed. How long have you been writing travel and stuff like that? How long have you been involved in this side of the industry?
Oh, in terms of writing, about 30 years.
Wow. And then were you involved in tourism before that?
Oh, yes.
Yes. And?
altogether, it's been about 60 years.
And what did you do, pray tell, for the first 30 of those years?
Well, I did a lot of research and consulting work in the field of tourism and aviation.
Oh, okay. So that's where you got your background. You didn't just step into this right off the streets. Why, you kind of knew what you were talking about when you got into it. That explains a whole lot. 60 years. Wow. Is there probably not too many people who can make that claim, I would say, at this point.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
I'm an old geezer now, but I'm still hanging in there.
Well, you hang in there, Ed. You got a couple of old geezers on the other end of the line here. By the way, I'm surprised that you even, volunteered to be on the show after I saw the list of questions that Mark had texted you that he wants to dig into. So I hope you take a big deep breath and are ready for it. Are you ready?
Oh yeah, and I probably got more time than you have. So go ahead.
Okay, Mark, let's take it away.
All right. Well, Ed, we've talked before about people using credit cards in foreign countries. You talked about the pin and chip technology. Finally, pin and chip is showing up here at home because you told our listeners a couple, 3 years ago that if we would just convert to that the number of fraudulent charges and stuff would drop dramatically because that's what the rest of the planet used. Now we're in the process of doing that here domestically. About, you know, once a week I get a new credit card it's a little thicker with the chip in it and stuff like that. How is that impacting folks using credit cards overseas? Is it getting easier? Is it getting harder with two different types of cards readily in circulation? Give me an update.
Overall, it hasn't changed much. It's a change in the technology, but for the most part, even the old cards still work, and the new ones are better, but just a quick correction. Most of the ones we're getting here in the U.S. are still PIN and sign. Rather, sign and chip rather than PIN and chip. There are only a few pin and chip cards being issued in the U.S.
So are those not, what we're getting then is not as secure as the pin and chip technology?
I suspect that the security differences are very small.
Okay. And knowing that they have like an October deadline, the consumers do with the bank, I mean the businesses do with banks in order to make some changes to their systems, otherwise the banks are not going to be liable for those charges. Okay, next thing on my list here was limited versus cancel for any reason insurance. People ask me sometimes if there's really two forms of cancellation insurance or protection in the travel industry. One is a limited protection that you can only cancel if you have a legitimate reason, a predetermined, agreed upon reason, medical or something, a death in the family, something like that. Other insurance allows you to cancel at any time. Sometimes the refund isn't always in cash. Sometimes it's in the form of a credit. Is that, and it's much more pricey. Cancel for any reason is more pricey. You've advocated that on occasion. Give me your thoughts.
The reason is very simple. If I decide I've got to cancel a trip for one reason or other, I want to make that decision myself, not to have to argue with some insurance company bean counter. And the big thing for an awful lot of people is that very few policies other than cancel for any reason allow cancellation for work-related problems. And I don't know about you guys, but in all of the years I've been traveling, and that's a rather big number as we just looked at, I have never had to cancel a trip for one of the typical reasons that they include in those named peril policies. It's always been because of work. So I just don't think it makes any sense to limit yourself that way. If you're going to buy the insurance that puts you in charge of the decision.
So if somebody is in kind of a situation where they're kind of semi-retired and they still have responsibilities with their company, but they're doing some traveling and stuff like that. But at any moment, they could maybe have to be in town for a couple of days. That might be the kind of person who would look at that cancel for any reason type protection.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Good. Ticket change fees. We just talked in our news lead here about how the airlines made some ungodly amount of money in the first quarter just on ticket change fees. The Department of Transportation, if I recall, is looking into whether or not these fees are arduous. Isn't that the thing that Alan Grayson, the congressman, set off and stuff like that? Any update on that?
Yeah, I just got back from a meeting of the Consumers Advisory Commission where I made a presentation. Not on this issue, but this is being spearheaded by Flyers Rights, and they have a petition in that says the fee should be capped at $100, where it's right now it's about $200 with the big airlines for domestic tickets and $300 or more for international tickets. And I got the feeling that the Department of Transportation, at least the committee members, were kind of following along with the logic that, look, we understand airlines have to charge something, but what they're charging now is just over the top outrageous. So we'll have to see what happens. I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll see something.
You're listening to The Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman along with Tom Romano. Our guest is Ed Perkins. We remind you that you can go to travelguysradio.com and find links to everything that we're talking about on the radio show today. We are in the middle of an interview with Ed in which, Tom, we talk about sometimes making folks a smarter traveler. If you're just listening to this interview and absorbing some of this information, you're probably getting smarter along the way. Ed, you wrote recently about more pre-clearance overseas. The United States is opening up more customs offices or entry offices in other countries. Why does this matter to international travelers?
Generally, in the past, it's been easier to go through the clearance in Canada, for example, where a lot of the big airports have it already. They enter the U.S., while they're still at the Canadian airport. So when the flight gets into their U.S. destination, they arrive like a domestic flight. They just walk off the plane, grab their bag, if any, and go. Two or three years ago, I would have said this is an absolutely great idea. But I have to tell you, after having come back from overseas now four times in the last 2 years, I really think global entry is at least as good and maybe better for most American travelers, because you just sail right through all of those procedures if you have global entry.
But that's where you pay a fee to be able to be. So it really only works if you travel. Well, you said you've done it. You've been overseas now four times in 2 years, so that's twice a year. You would say that if you knew you were going twice a year, you would probably, that global entry would be the way to go.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And the airlines seem to be just changing the rules as we speak in regards to frequent flyer awards. Delta is, they just, kind of do their own thing. What are your thoughts?
Many years ago, my wife enunciated the rule, frequent flyer miles do not improve with age. And every year proves her more correct. The big airlines are tilting their programs both on the earning side and on the award side, in favor of the road warriors that really provide them with lots of revenue. And the average leisure traveler is going to find it harder and harder to earn the miles and harder to use them.
So you might want to just go ahead and look at using it for hotel stays and such.
Well, yeah, except that your airline miles are worth very little for other purposes.
If you try to cross-use miles for anywhere, you always get burned. Yeah, you're always going to get a lower value if you use them for something other than the product, the individual product. If you use them to go shopping out of a catalog or something like that, it may be, if you don't have another use for the miles, or you have a great use for the gift you want to get or something like that, it may make perfect sense to you. But in terms of getting a good deal for those miles, you're not going to do well if you don't. If you don't use United miles to buy United tickets and Southwest miles to buy Southwest tickets and Marriott miles and points to buy Marriott hotel rooms, then you're You're going to get skewered if you start transferring and giving miles and things. You're always going to come up a loser. All right, Ed, there's always been a big controversy. When to buy an airline ticket? What day of the week? How much in advance of your trip? With all of the algorithms and airfares changing 8-10 times a day now and stuff like that, is there really a good or a bad time to buy an airline ticket anymore?
Well, the people who know about this keep going more and more in the direction of no. The best way to do it simply is to watch the prices very carefully, and when you see a good deal, pounce on it. And beyond that, most of the people I know now are saying you really can't predict. Some of the evidence indicates maybe on average 7-8 weeks in advance for a domestic ticket, and maybe a few more than that for an international ticket. But those are averages over routes that have some wide differences. So my take is the best thing to do is to keep in touch with the marketplace and move when you see a good sale.
It's going to be a lot more competitive Los Angeles to New York than it is Eureka, California to Paducah in Kentucky.
Tell me about it. I fly in and out of Medford.
Yeah, so you're perennially stuck with that. I would probably suggest to folks that because Southwest sales tend to start on Tuesdays, that if I were going to buy an airline ticket, I would not buy it on a Monday. I would wait until Tuesday, see if Southwest started a sale. The reason that's important is because many times carriers will at least match selected routes, if not system-wide, to other carriers' sales. But of course, Southwest, just like any other merchant, has good sales and bad sales. Sometimes their sale is 30% off, and sometimes their sale is only 5% off. And if you're not savvy and you don't follow often, you probably won't pick up on that. All right, getting to the end of the line here, Ed. hotel resort fees. I know this is a favorite topic of yours. More and more hotels are piling on resort fees to people for more and more ridiculous things that just make no sense whatsoever. It's strictly a cash grab by a hotel. Are consumers going to get any relief? Are we going to get any regulation on this that at least forces these people to reveal these prices firmly in advance?
That isn't the problem. They're already disclosing. What we want as consumer advocates is inclusion. So we want a hotel, if they say, well, our rate is $70, but there's a mandatory $30 resort fee, we want to know what you've got is a $100 room that includes all the laundry list of stuff you've listed for the resort fee. And I think we may see some action. This was the area that I talked about at this committee meeting. And because of a portion of the law in air transportation, the Department of Transportation actually has the authority to compel all-up advertising, not for hotels in general, but when an airline includes a hotel in an air hotel package, then DOT has the authority to clean up that price advertising. And so we asked them to do that at this meeting, and the Federal Trade Commission was represented at this meeting, and they were kind of listening in because it's their job to clean up the entire industry.
Well, and speaking of cleaning up...
Oh, we've gotten to the end of our list here, Ed. We got about 60 seconds left. Back in March for SmarterTravel.com, where you often opine, you wrote a little article, Where Does Poop Go on a Plane? And, you know, that might seem not insignificant to some people unless, you know, the plane was flying over you, kind of like a bird. So, Ed.
Isn't it just like the trains always do, you know, when you flush and it just falls on the track?
We
right?
have an expert in our midst here, Tom. We have someone who can...
We're going to get the real
we're
answer.
We're going to get the real answer of where poop goes on a plane.
It's not like the old trains where you could look down and see the roadbed going by. No, it stays on the airplane and gets unloaded.
Thank goodness. I feel differently now about being underneath
a flying over plane. So if you read the reports about people who have said, you know, they got hit by this mysterious blue chunk from the sky or something like that, why, that was from some other source. It was not from a...
Let me ask you this, Ed, since you're such an expert on this kind of stuff. We have the Goodyear blimp in town covering the Senior Open Golf
Championship.
Right outside
the window. I can see it right here.
And, I can see it's right out the window here. How about on the blimp? What do they do? Do they...
No, I have absolutely no idea.
Well, we'll look into that. We'll check with Bill Herendez.
I'm sure, you know, they have a passenger compartment on the on some of the blimps. I'm sure they have restroom facilities on board.
They've got to.
They must have.
Well, an old college buddy of mine went into the Navy and actually flew lighter than air. But I haven't talked with him in forever, so I really can't tell you.
Listen, if you want some information on Ed Perkins and what he does and stuff, we have put some links on travelguysradio.com so that you can learn a little bit about Ed. In 15 minutes there, we have just covered a variety of subjects. Dare I say, if you're a traveler and you didn't get something out of the last 15 minutes, you weren't paying very good attention. Thank you so much for giving us your thoughts on a wide range of trips. And one of these days, when Tom tells me he's going to take a week off, I'm going to get in the automobile and come up there to, or the plane, and come up there to Medford, and we'll do an episode of the Travel Guys from your place up there.
You better drive, because there's no nonstop flight between Sacramento and Medford.
Works for me.
Thank you, Ed. Take care, my friend.
Always good to be with you guys.
We are the Travel Guys, Tom and Mark, here on KFBK. And when we come back in just about 2 minutes, got the Save the Best for Last, as Mark reveals the traveler's six deepest, darkest vacation secrets.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. 5 minutes before 4 o'clock, or you know, they never give the time on the radio anymore. You're a professional radio guy.
Yeah.
You know the answer to why that is.
You know, the morning and afternoon news does the time hacks from time to time. But uh-huh. I mean, people have so many devices and things to know what the time is. The time that it's the most important, mm-hmm. not so much on the weekends. You know, we really don't care what time it is.
Right.
But that morning drive and that afternoon drive, particularly the morning drive, when you got a destination, that thing called work,
uh-huh.
that you need to show up for on time, the times is still pretty critical. Well, we are the Travel Guys, and let's get to it. Mark, I know we've got some business to take care
we
of.
We do. Sports Leisure Vacations is a sponsor of Rob on the Road on Monday nights on KVIE. And Rob, this Monday, is exploring the past, present, and future of San Francisco's Treasure Island at 7:30 on Monday nights. On KVIE, television worth watching.
Rob needs to ride the magic bus.
Rob is going to be in studio with us and be a co-host of the Travel Guys on, I think it's like the 18th of July.
So okay.
We had him in live last fall, and he's kind of a fun guy, so that will be a blast-a-rooney. I have a winner. Our winner didn't call last week. We give away $100. We give away a travel card every week for Sports Leisure Vacations on our program, and you have to call Monday or Tuesday to the Sports Leisure office to claim your prize. Our winner last week did not call, so that means the prize goes from $100 to $200, and this is cool. The winner this week is someone who went to Cape Cod with us a couple of weeks ago. It's Diana Fliggy. Diana Fliggy is the winner. Diana, if you are listening to the radio, or someone you know tells you they heard your name on the radio, call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday, and you will win a $200 travel card. If we don't hear from Diana, it will be $300 next week. Are you ready for the list?
I am ready. The list, ladies and gentlemen, revealing the six deepest, darkest vacation secrets. Now, Mark and I he quizzed me earlier, and mm-hmm. I can tell you I had 4 out of 7, I think it was.
Well, there's only 6.
Okay, 4 out of 3.
But you had 4 out of 7.
Yeah,
I wondered when you said that before.
I don't know.
Anyways.
All right, what are they?
And this comes from the folks at TravelZoo, who did a survey, and they figured this all out. This is from most to least, I think, because it's the most interesting.
A survey of like 100 travelers, or
they took a survey. It doesn't say how many that they. Oh no, okay. It does say 9,500 adults in the U.S., U.K., Germany, and China between May 11th and June 8th.
There's your qualifiers.
Most common thing.
Okay,
69% of the people. Cindy's in here, so we'll see if she.
Okay,
Cindy, you see if any of these things are things that you confess to when you are traveling.
Wait
okay?
a minute, I don't know if I like this.
Yeah. Most people, 69% of people say that they have taken toiletries or other items from their hotel room.
I confess.
I go right for the shampoo and conditioner.
If it's worth anything, I take it with me, baby.
Right?
I paid for the room. I want the good stuff. Researched vacation plans during work hours.
Yes, but not while I was working for this company.
No, I would never do that. Especially not right now.
Okay, here's the third one. Peed in the ocean or pool. 64% of people confess. Can you say that on the radio, Pete?
How dare
in the ocean?
You, sir?
Well, not since I was three.
Well, and besides, in the ocean, it doesn't count. I mean, come on.
I wouldn't do it in a pool, but the ocean, I feel like, you know, if the fish are doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Called in sick to extend a vacation, 24%. Ever do that?
Not working
for this company. Exactly. Your answers are different than they were outside. Visited a tanning salon to enhance a vacation tan.
I am not allowed to do that. I am almost transparent, so I would burst into flames
okay.
if I went.
So, see, Tom, you've
no,
never
I
slipped
don't buy into artificial tanning.
And finally, cheated on a partner during vacation. 3% of people confess that they have done that.
I like to cheat with my partner. With your,
isn't that the whole point?
You know.
If you go to travelguysradio.com and you go to where our description is, you will see a wonderful video about a children's flash mob. That doesn't have a damn thing to do with travel, but it is really a great thing. We will see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock when we have a couple of great stories.
Yes, we do. One not so great, another one very, very good, having to do with travelers and their experiences. We are the Travel Guys, here to make you a smarter traveler. See you next week at 3 o'clock. You have a wonderful week. Bye-bye for now.
Traffic.